sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's up, world? What's up? We are back. Episode number 9. Chris, how you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. It's been a good week.
It's been a great week. First of all, shout out to Jake and Papa, our intro song, if y'all don't know, is Starless. So, you know, check those brothers out from the West Coast. They're doing dope things, up and coming R&B group, like really making waves. Mm-hmm. They're going to be with us in September. They lent us their...
Shout out to Nikki Jeezy, too.
Yeah, Nikki Jeezy. They gave us our theme song, man. When we ain't have nothing, we had a Jake and Papa theme song before we even had an episode, man. So shout out to them. Shout out to Jamie at This Is R&B too, man. The good peoples, man, support us every week, man. I love it. And shout out to everybody who came out to our in-store, man, at the Apple Store in Soho. Chris, you wanna talk about it? This was crazy.
Well, before we even start thanking anybody, I gotta thank the man Sway for coming out and hosting the event with us, moderating conversation and just bringing his energy to the event, because I don't feel like there's anybody else that would have been more perfect for that than him. And he's just so great at everything he does. We had a lot of people show up. I honestly didn't think that there would be that much of a packed room. I mean, not to say that, you know, I'm not confident in what we do, but it's so brand new still that this kind of came up, you know, last minute, and that room was just packed out.
Yo, I'm going to be honest. I was afraid. Like, I just had, like, nightmares the night before. Like, yo, nobody's going to show up. This is going to be such a bad look. But y'all showed up, and y'all mm-hmm. packed it out, man. And that was love. Definitely shout out to Sway. And shout out to Carl Cherry over at iTunes, and Brian and Pablo and the whole team over there. Really showed us love, man. So, you know, salute to them, and check it out. They Meet the Podcasters is the episode that they're going to put up, starring myself and Kristen Coral and Sway Calloway, and it was dope, man. So that definitely gave, like, a great energy to the week, because I felt like we dropped our episode 8 with R. Kelly and mm-hmm. Melanie Fiona, and the feedback was crazy. And then right after, we do the Apple in-store, and we got to meet, actually, a lot of y'all that listen. Shout out to Jesse, right? Mo Bigger?
Right. There's, whew. I think, two of, I would say, our most dedicated, besides Shan Glennon, because I always got to shout mm-hmm. her out. That's, like, our girl right there, but Mo Bigga and also Alexis.
Yeah,
Alexis actually Page. Approached us after the show, and she's studying to become a journalist as well. So she right. mentioned, you know, looking up to everything that you do and everything that we do with the podcast, and saying that it inspired her to keep going. I guess because, you know, certain people choose careers, people like us, that anybody else will kind of look at you and be like, well, you're not going to college, like, you're not doing this, the normal, the 9 to 5, like. And it's not that many people that actually make it in the careers like journalism, you know, acting, you know, what I do, modeling, like whatever it may be as an artist. People always try to put you down. So I told her the number one thing is just stick to what you're doing and don't let nobody, you know, distract you from your dreams. If that's what you want to do, then go ahead and do it.
Right. Nah, for real facts. And I wanted to shout out this kid, too. If you're listening, man, hit us up at RLS Podcast. Noel, I believe his name was. He came up to us at the end of the night and asked us for some relationship advice, bro. And you got a situation on your hands. He said that he kind of messed up on his girl, so his girl left, and he wants to get her back, and he's written her poems and said all the right things and sonnets and all of this. I'm like, okay, good, good. Now follow that up with action. He said the only bad thing is that she's already moved on and got somebody else. So me being from Brooklyn, like I am, I offered to go with him. I said, well, we could ride on him and take him out, and then we clear the lane, but he ain't want to go that route. But hit us up, man. I want to hear more of your story, man. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that worked out for you, but you might just have to find another one.
Such
man.
A sweet guy, too. I feel like that may be something that's kind of pushing him to the side, too. You know, being sweet is all good, but you can't be a pushover.
He seemed like a very sincere guy. But it sounded like he fucked up.
Yeah, he knows he did. He mentioned he did, you know.
Word.
But it was pretty cool, you know.
Right.
And also shout out to Matt, actually. If you're on Twitter, his Twitter name is at Lester Burnham. He showed up with records to the event. He actually bought me an Eagles record and a Chaka record, which was really dope.
That's right. He brought you some, right? He didn't bring me nothing. The male host don't get no presents. He came through like Nardwar, though, man. He was like, hey, Kristen, I got an Eagles record for you. Do you know this Eagles record? Nah, man. Shout out to him.
It's actually one of my
that
favorites
dope.
With Hotel California. So.
That was dope. I like the Frank Ocean version better.
What?
I'm just joking. I'm
listen.
I'm trying
Ocean, to catch some heat
nah,
over
I was
that
just,
right
I
now.
Was just mad at the Eagles when they, you know, they notorious for suing people and you can't redo an Eagles joint. But that Frank Ocean, that American Wedding,
it's my joint, man.
I'm mad, man. He can't even perform it no more, man. Like, that's crazy. But we got some new music this week. Chris, you brought this to my attention because I ain't know. Erykah Badu, a.k.a. DJ Lowdown, Loretta Brown, dropped a mixtape, right? What's good?
Yeah, she dropped a mixtape actually called My People, Hold On. I actually woke up one morning and it was just there. You know, somebody tweeted it out and I second guessed it. I thought, you know what, this might be a fake just because it came out of the woodworks, you know, but I sat down and listened to it. Me being a huge Erykah Badu fan, I was a little disappointed for one reason. You don't hear much of her singing on there, not even rapping, like, just, I think it was meant to be more of like an instrumental type mixtape, and I know it had a little bit of the roots on it. I mean, she's just worked with a couple really great people on it, but even the instrumental wise, I just feel like it was a little bit of a weird project put out. I mean, everything that she touches, yes, is dope, and I love everything that she's ever done, but the mixtape was just, no.
So you said DJ Lowdown, Loretta Brown, got to go back.
I was disappointed.
Okay. Damn, all right. I ain't hear it yet.
She ain't got to go back. She could try, you know.
She got to go back and try again.
She could put something else out. But I was disappointed, definitely.
Okay, nah, that's a bet. All right, before we go any further, too, I want to send two shout-outs. First of all, we got to send RLS love to Bobby Brown and the Houston family. Bobby Christina has passed away at the age of 22. And, you know, it's just a tragic loss after the death of Whitney Houston, who was an icon in music. Forget R&B and music. And, you know, Bobby Christina to pass away under almost similar circumstances, and the way it just played out over months and months and months is sad and tragic. So rest in peace to Bobby Christina, and our condolences to Bobby Brown and his family and the Houston family. Bobby Brown, also an icon in music.
Huge.
And I also want to send a big shout and send some Red Light special love to my friend Styles P, who went on Instagram and announced that his daughter had committed suicide and passed away about a month ago. So Styles and his family has been going through it. But he always remains a gangster and a gentleman through it all, man. And so we want to send our condolences and love to them. Yeah, and that's it.
Definitely.
So, yeah, hit them up on Twitter. Send love. Everything be so negative. You see the memes and everything is a joke, man. Send some love to somebody, man. Like, and that's what it's all about. But, and now we're going to get on with the show. I'm excited about this one, Chris.
I'm very excited. We got two special, special people in the room right now.
Yeah, we got two friends and two people who are just dope at what they do in the industry. First, let's go S-Wit. I met S-Wit back in the day when she was running around in Sirius XM Shade 45, like making sure all the dope joints got on and really just holding things down. And now she's over at Hot New Hip Hop, taking her whole thing digital. And it's like an exciting time for S-Wit. So S-Wit, welcome to the Red Light Special, man. I'm proud to have you here.
Yeah, I'm a fan. What you talking about? I wanted y'all autographs when I walked in.
Oh, come on, stop playing. And she came to the Apple In-Store. That's why I was like, man.
Yeah, y'all didn't pick me in the crowd, man. I was feeling some type of way. But it's all right. I figured it was because of who I was. But it's all right.
And then on the other side, man, we have somebody who has been supporting this podcast, supporting this show since day one. My brother, I cannot thank you enough. He has this amazing website that I visit regularly when I need to check out all the new joints. You know, when DJs front like they got a record and they gonna play it and They might play it or they might not. I ain't got time to listen to 3 hours to your show, so I'm just going to go to isbiscuit.com because I know as soon as it's available, he going to have it up.
No doubt.
Shout out to Biscuit, man. What man, up,
shout
man?
Out to y'all, man. Like happy to be here. You know that. Y'all family. So
right. Nah, definitely, man.
It's all love.
Bet, bet. So the reason why we have y'all today, I mean, usually we'll bring a guest, more of an artist or a musician or a producer, and we'll talk music. But so many things was going on in the news this week that I felt like we just needed to have like a discussion amongst the homies. One of the things is Drake. Okay. Let me run down for the people who don't know.
Aubrey.
Mr. Aubrey Graham. Last week, Meek Mill went on Twitter and accused Drake of having a ghostwriter by the name of Quentin Miller. Some people debate whether this is a ghostwriter or not because it seems that Quentin Miller has received credit for writing on several songs on If You're Reading This Is Too Late, which is Drake's last mixtape. Less than 24 hours after Meek sends the tweets, Hot 97's Funkmaster Flex goes on the air and plays a reference track, or what we believe to be a reference track of 10 bands of this kid, Quentin Miller, actually spitting the rhymes that we eventually hear Drake.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah. Drake, a couple of days later, drops a diss track, Charged Up, going at Meek Mill. And all hell is breaking loose in hip-hop, right?
As we speak,
all hell is breaking loose. But what I wanted to kind of talk about, since Red Light Special, I mean, we more celebrate R&B music, but we love all music, is this ghostwriting thing or having a writer in hip-hop is frowned upon, it seems like. It's very, very taboo. But in other genres of music, including R&B, it's okay. Like Mary J. Blige has My Life, and we're cool that she didn't write all of those records. We're cool that Beyonce doesn't write all of those records. But in hip-hop, it's a thing. So I kind of wanted to open up the floor to y'all and just have this discussion about really what it means to be a songwriter and how come it matters in hip-hop and in R&B. We're just cool with it and it's accepted.
I feel like it mattered a little more back in the day. I kind of don't feel like it matters too much nowadays. It's like, especially because, like, you know, the golden era was more lyrics. Everything was lyrics. You had to be nice to even get on. Now you could have swag and get on. You could, you know, sound like Young Thug or whatever have you. You know, you could be like the Migos, you know. So I feel like it's important, of course, you know, in hip-hop, with writing your own lyrics, of course, but I just don't think it's like as important how it used to be. Kind of feel like it's like nobody really cares. Like,
not a necessity anymore.
Yeah, I feel like if for the Drake situation, like Flex and everybody that's, you know, bashing him for using a track that was referenced, I feel like everybody that's commenting on what Flex and everybody else is talking about with that is like they don't really even care. You know what I'm saying? I don't really see like that importance of, you know, how it used to be. Like if you didn't write your rhymes back in the day, you wasn't getting no pass. You right. know, now it's you get every pass in the world, I feel like.
What's the inherent difference though of, let's say, maybe a hip hop artist and an R&B artist? Let's say
it's just the foundation of what hip hop was built on. It's like what Biscuit said. I mean, given like, you know, hip hop is evolved and stuff, it's just what it was built off of. Like, back to this comment that was made at you guys' meet and greet, somebody said something about sucker MCs. Like, you used to get called out for being a sucker MC. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, hip hop
is. You get booed, everything.
Yeah, hip hop is an expression.
You wouldn't be accepted. You wouldn't be accepted.
I don't think people are even really paying attention to the fact that there is a questionable like ghostwriter in this topic. I think what people really care about right now is what Drake is gonna, you know, say to him and what Meek is gonna say back. You know what I mean? Like, they're more concerned about the diss records right. going back and forth and the whole publicity than the actual fact that he may have a ghostwriter.
I agree with you saying, but then I also think it's who it is, because if it was somebody else, I think everybody just would have disregarded it. Like, point in case, right? I mean, we're talking about this subject. I mean, it's very clear that Dr. Dre wasn't writing his own shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or Puff Daddy.
Exactly. Right. Like, Diddy said it.
Diddy don't write nothing.
Like, countless amount of people, or that moms, Gilly the Kid. Checks. Yeah, or Gilly the Kid was writing for people. Like, we knew. I think it was the fact that we just put Drake on this pedestal, and it's just like,
yeah.
But even more so, like, does it become tainted? Like, me, I'm going to be honest, I'm a little let down on the hip-hop side of things, because even if Drake drops a crazy diss record, I'm like, well, who wrote it.
But see, the question now is, because remember, he plays two lanes. He hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is it acceptable because he plays both?
Well, somebody said, and I don't know this to be a fact.
Like, do you really expect that from him?
And I'm sorry. I feel you. Somebody had pointed out to me, and I'm sorry for not doing the research before this episode. Like, I should really be on my journalistic shit. But just hold on, we're going home, where he's singing. You know what I'm saying? I got my eyes on you. With Magic Jordan was on the record. Somebody has said, well, Magic Jordan wrote that record that he's singing, so is that okay? And for me, yeah, that's cool.
Only because he's singing it.
Because it's the R&B side.
Yes.
and I think
facts.
Another thing too with Drake is, like, we all know Drake could make a hit. We all know, like, Drake could write a hit. So I don't think if he referenced a track or two or maybe even three, I don't think compared to everything he's done, I don't think that's going to discredit anything that he's done in the past. And plus, like, he writes also for people.
Right.
Yeah, and we had Eric on here. Or, I mean, I said this last episode. It keeps coming
Eric
up.
Eric Bellinger.
Eric Bellinger specifically stated that one of his favorite writers of all time and even right now is Drake. So that's coming from a songwriter. You know, right. Eric Bellinger has wrote for Usher. I mean, he's wrote for Justin Bieber. He has wrote for amazing artists. So from one songwriter to another, give Drake the credit of actually being a great writer. The only thing I don't agree with is, first of all, I've always said Drake is like, he writes all of our diaries. You know what I mean? Like, his songs.
Or does he?
He's like the thought in the back of your head.
Right. Every single thought. Everything that comes. So that's where I become disappointed. Because to me, I look at Drake and I'm like, damn, man. Like, he must have lived some shit in his life and been through some women. Like, the shit that he says is just so real.
Or did he?
Or did he? Now it's a question. And I'm like, I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I want to read something just for the listeners, because this is what put the thought in my head. And I know all the hip hop podcasts are probably discussing this week and every outlet. But, you know, I'm over at MTV News during the day and a lot of nights, too. We spend a lot of hours at MTV News. But I did an interview, an anonymous interview with a hip hop ghostwriter, with a guy who, he's a rapper that's pretty well known. We all know him. And he writes for other rappers. But he did it, you know, anonymously. So I asked him, I said, I'm just going to read this excerpt. Writing doesn't have the same stigma other genres like R&B, but in hip hop is taboo. Why? So this writer, we call him Aaron, because that was the most un-hip hop name I could think of. So I wanted to protect this guy. But he says this: when you look at R&B and you look at pop and all these other genres of music, it's nothing to have writers. I see a lot of people arguing for different artists, saying, well, Michael Jackson had help with this, and Mary J. Blige had help with that, and Usher had help with that. And that's very true. The reason is because in R&B and pop, it's about so much more than what you're saying. What you're saying may be the last piece of the puzzle. It's about vocally, can you hit the octaves and the ranges? And if it's not dancing, it's playing an instrument. So you take somebody like Alicia Keys, she has to be able to sing, she has to be able to play instruments, and then the writing is just an added component. And we all know Alicia Keys writes, but it's not. But if she's not writing a certain song, that's not what you came for anyway. She came to sing and play the piano. Usher came to sing and dance. Mary came to sing and occasionally dance. It's about all those other components. Mm-hmm. So the question is, again, in hip hop, and I think the point which it seems like the room is making is that things are changing in hip hop.
Yeah.
But somebody like me, right?
But it's still built off the foundation, so it still focuses back on the foundation, whether it's 20% still left or 30% still left. Like, that's all the MC has or the rapper has. It's all about your lyrical ability,
right?
Whether you write 10% of that shit or 50%. Like, we're looking for, it's like poetry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the difference between reciting a monologue and actually writing, actually being Shakespeare. You know what I'm saying? I can either act this out or write the score or the play. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, we expect that. It's like what you say, like, you expect that storytelling. Like Biggie, right, for instance. Like, what if we found out Biggie didn't write those? My mind would be blown.
Would,
or if Mr. Cheeks didn't write, Cheeks didn't write Renee. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would be hurt 20 years later.
Right,
or if Nas didn't write If I Rule the Roar. Like, give or take, like, you know, hip-hop is 30, almost 40 years old, but it's just like somewhere the foundation, I feel like, should still stand. I think we shouldn't, like, over-standardize it, but we should still hold a standard.
So let's take a...
Like, think about rap battles. Mm-hmm. Like, you expect motherfuckers to come
and it's on
and
your
you
feet.
Get killed in a rap battle if somebody else like Mav Hoff wrote that shit.
Yeah, it'll be a rap.
Half that shit is on your feet too. It's all about what comes to mind. It's all about, I think if anything, you're right. The material, like you're writing, that's all you have. That's all an MC has. And you could be like a Young Thug, and like we found out that somebody wrote his songs. Like, we wouldn't care. First of all, it's not, he's not saying much. You know what I mean? But if you're a rapper, half the time you're rapping about real shit, your struggles, your come up. I mean, that's all you
always
have.
When I hear Drake, I always feel like that's him. Right. So like, whoever's ghostwriting must have been chilling with him all day.
Right.
And doing, I don't know.
Here's a perfect example, right? Because Drake is one of those artists who puts a lot of his life out there, right? Like, ever since he was trying to put the ring on Alicia's hand and all that. Like, we know, like, Courtney from Hooters on Peace Street. Like, it's not just like, yo, I like this girl and she look good. They have names, they have faces, and these are real women. So you know this is him. His pen is somewhere in here. Take an artist, or take an album like Usher's Confessions, which was extremely personal.
Mm. But he didn't write
until you found out Jermaine Dupri, that was Jermaine Dupri's story that wrote it. So, like, what's the difference?
But that's like for most R&B artists. Like, usually, I mean, I've been in the studio with most R&B artists. So you get in the room, and if they're with the songwriter, they're kind of conveying where they're going, yeah, with the direction and like, that's how they feeling.
They feeling the vibe.
Songwriter's just like, what you going through right now? What's on your mind? How you feeling? And they may have the perfect song for that, and that's where that presentation comes, how they belt
and
it
they
out.
They might even pull those emotions
yeah,
out,
those
too.
Emotions, yeah, like, it's just a building thing. You know what I mean? Like, right, it's just hip-hop. Like, bro.
I think R&B is just strictly emotion. I mean, even if somebody's writing, like, you know what I mean? Like Vella said, everything is very tailored, you know? So if, you know, whatever, it, I mean, Eric, whatever it is, if you're writing a song for, like, let's say Chris Brown, like, you know what Chris Brown is going through. You know what kind of song you're going to pen for Chris Brown. Right. If you're writing for Usher and you know that he's going through some confession shit, then you know the direction of the songs that you're going to write for him. But when you give that to him, he's going to make it a completely different song. So you could give it to Usher and Chris Brown. Chris Brown will make it A. Usher's going to make it B. They're going to sound completely different. And it's all about how they vocally, you know, express, and put it, that out, express it. And the notes that they hit, like if they're angry, they're going to get grungy. You know what I mean? So it's going to sound how that artist
Am
is going to make it sound.
Or did Neo do Single Ladies? Did Neo write Single Ladies? Somebody wrote Single Ladies, though.
Dream wrote Single Ladies.
Dream,
right?
Yeah.
Dream wrote Single
Ladies. Like, that's crazy to write, though.
Neo wrote
questionable
to,
now.
To the left.
Neo I'm wrote, just, he tapped into
that,
the feminine.
To the left, yeah. To the left. Yeah, that was Neo.
Yeah, that's the record that I was thinking about, too. Like, that's crazy for them. That's, I don't know, that's.
But you still believe that to be Beyonce's story. Like, you see her in the video, you see her putting the things in the boxes. Like, that becomes Beyonce's story. Like, even back to the Usher thing, like, which is a little bit different. I don't even think that was Usher's story. Like, Usher wasn't walking hand in hand with the Beverly Center with Shorty. Like, that's Jermaine
Dupri.
But
it had
Dupri's.
You believing it the way he sang it.
And especially the way him and Chilli just broke up. Also, like, they really, that was, like, perfect.
But
timing.
that's a good point that you made, because him and Chilli had just broke up. Like, I do acting, so when I get a monologue, and I haven't lived that out, you know what I mean? But I could take those words and dig into a past experience. If I have to cry in that monologue, and I'm going to think about that. And when I say those words, like if the words are like, you're a piece of shit, and I have never been in that situation before, but I've told somebody in the past that they were a piece of shit, and I'm going to dig back into that experience. It's going to bring the same emotions, and I'm going to act that out perfectly. And the audience is going to be crying too. And they're going to be like, damn, that's real. But I never lived that. You know what I mean? It hits a point in my life that is similar or something. It evokes the same emotion. I think that's where R&B goes to, even if they write a song. And let's say Usher wasn't living that at the moment. But there's something there with him that can still relate to that song and the way it was written. And he makes it his own.
And I think, like, the fans, like, the people that just enjoy the music, like, back in the day, like, when I was just younger growing up, I just enjoyed the music. So I'm not really in the industry like that. So I feel like the industry people are more into the who wrote this or who did this. The fans, they just like the music. Mm-hmm. So they're not really looking that deep. Even if they find out the information, they really just enjoy the music. So it's not that critical or serious to them.
Biz just say my name. Now I'm in the industry.
Nah, because when you're in it, like, now you're looking at everything different.
I felt like when
just
I
was, as a fan.
So
though,
you're not with us, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I felt like when I was coming up, I was still that type of fan who will read the album credits, R&B or hip-hop, just anything you get, like, yo, who is this, who wrote it, who produced it, where did they record it, who mixed it, who did they thank in the thank you notes. I hear what y'all saying, and honestly, like, sadly, like, I kind of agree. I don't know that the fans care very much these days, or people are more lenient.
Because, like, the kids hear 10 bands, they really, even if they read the story on a blog, they still listening to that record, and they turn it up to it.
I'm going to still listen to the records the same way I still listen to The Chronic, the same way I still listen to No Way Out. But, you know, if you're not using your pen, I feel like, at least in hip-hop, I can't put you in those top MC conversations. I can't have you the same discussion with you and Eminem. Or you and Biggie.
But it was made clear early on with Dr. Dre and Puffy that they won't make rain that shit.
Right.
I think with Drake, like you said, many people aren't caught off. It's like, whatever, back to our lives. But it's for many people, just like, it's like, okay, how many years later? It's like, what?
Right.
Like, we knew from day one, Dr. Dre and Puffy.
Right. It's like steroids. Right. It's like A-Rod. Yeah. It's like Barry Bonds. It's like, wait, hold on, then. Mm-hmm. Like, do all these home runs, like, which ones? I'm sure Drake has written songs and has songs that he's wrote 100% his pen, the same way Barry Bonds hit home runs without the roids. Mm-hmm. But which one is which? And we don't know.
Right.
Now everything going to be
questionable. Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to look at it like, hold on. Like you said, now the disc record come out and you're thinking like, hold on, did he write that?
Like, everybody thought that. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you ain't say it, like, Meek tweeted it. Like, he was like, oh, I know he wrote that one. But
yeah,
everybody was like, wait, hold on for a second. But it's just funny. Like, and for me, I can't tell you why. I can't tell you how. But I'm okay with Usher singing Confessions, knowing that he didn't write that. I'm not as okay with one of my favorite rappers, one of the illest rappers, right now writing songs and I don't know whether or not he wrote it. You could call me an old head. You could call me Industry Biscuit.
Yeah, you.
But you know,
you definitely Industry,
Industry Biscuit. Yeah,
but
Biz, you Industry too. What you calling
I'm
up?
Half and half.
He in the streets.
Biz fronting right now because Biz in the streets. Yeah, and he run with a lot of rappers, but I think he would feel some type of way
even
if some of them up. Long as
even
he
though he came
with
up with this whole wash thing, you know, you do be washed, but you be in the streets.
You would be washed if somebody found out that the cat he was running with
ain't right. You definitely gonna feel some type of way. I mean, that's like you said, that's so important as an artist to write your own shit. That's you supposed to do that. And then, like, you know, when we thinking that we listening to that person's story and all of that, and then we find out it hurts a little bit. I ain't gonna lie.
Like, you ain't get shot, son? Like, yeah. How you
right?
Exactly. Like, something dramatic like that. But that's what I'm saying. Most of Drake's music, you think about him talking to an ex or something, and the dude's light skin, and it's kind of like, it makes sense. So it's like, it's not like he's talking super tough where it's like, hold on, who the fuck is writing that?
Right.
Because we'd have been questioning that shit from the rip.
I ain't gonna lie, it took about a half hour for the first light skin shot to be thrown in this podcast. I think that's a record because it usually come out like in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, it does.
Chris having something to say about me.
He's on his light skin shit.
Why?
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know what?
Listen, man.
I own up to that shit.
Speaking of Wash, you know, Biz is you know, the inventor of Wash Gang. Last week I was on my Wash Gang ish. I was heading home and I was listening. I'm going to show you my train of thought. It's going to lead us to this next segment and this next part. I was listening to Rick James, you know? And first I was thinking, I was listening to 17. She was only 17, but she was sexy. And I was like,
sound like Bill Cosby.
Yeah, everybody was saying,
stop. Like, don't.
They already made that comparison.
I was waiting.
Don't throw the Bill Cosby thing on me. But I was thinking, I was like, yo, was there outrage in 1984 when he was like, because they mad about this Tiger and Kylie thing. And I was like, Rick James made a whole song about it. Mm-hmm. But so I'm listening to Rick James. I'm listening to 17. I'm listening to, you know, Ebony Eyes, all of this. And then I go and get into Prince. And I'm just on Twitter tweeting, man. And I ask everybody, what's your favorite Prince song? You know, so people start Adore, Beautiful Ones, Purple Rain, Diamonds and Pearls, it all starts coming out. And then my man, friend to the room, I think everybody here knows him, Hovain from BSB. Wasn't even an argument. Hovain. I asked you, what's that your favorite right Prince there. Song? He said, Prince is better than Michael Jackson. It wasn't even a question. And it started off
Hovain
this whole.
Hovain knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing. I said, you know what? We're going to use that for this next Red Light Special episode. I'm 35. I ain't, you know, old head. I remember being a kid having this. This was like the Nas and Jay-Z debate. Was Prince and Michael Jackson when we was kids. Who's better, Prince or Michael Jackson? And I thought it would just be fun to kind of have that debate and resurrect that debate with some music heads and music fan. So everything on the table, musically influence everything. I just want to throw it out to the room. Who's better? Michael Jackson or Prince?
Yo, we look like we about to have a shoot off.
Right? Everybody's just looking at each other.
I say Prince.
You say Prince?
Yeah.
S-Wit. Why is Prince better than Michael Jackson? That's the king of pop.
Man, I say this. Michael Jackson let me put this right.
Get it right,
girl. Michael Jackson was a superstar, but Prince was a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, Prince was way more controversial, way more radical. You know, whether we're talking about
religion. Prince, I don't know if Prince was more controversial
than Michael Jackson. No, he was.
Yeah, he was. Let me get this out. Without the press attacking him, he was just naturally. I think he was the first Kanye. Like, I'll say that. I think Kanye takes a lot of influences from Prince. Like, he was, before Twitter, the best promoter of himself, man. Like, now, let's think about it. He wrote all his own stuff. He played every instrument on every song, every album.
He produced
like between 1980 and 1990. He dropped like 10 albums. He dropped four movies in a decade.
But we only watched one of them. Because nobody's going back and watch it Below the Cherry Moon.
Yeah, but you can't take it away.
I could take it away.
But in the soundtracks had something. You said like he had Bad Bitches. He had Apollonia. He had Vanity.
Carmen Electra.
He introduced us to Morris Day and the Time. Yeah, like all types of stuff.
It was super lit.
You done? That's everything you got? I just want to make sure.
It's not everything I got, but I'm going to let you get in and I'm going to attack you.
First of all.
It's like bullets in a gun. I'll hold on to the rest of the round.
I don't even want this distinction. But first of all, you said Prince was more controversial than MJ.
Yeah.
MJ bought the Elephant Man's bones. He had a monkey named Bubbles.
He was sick in it.
But that's not controversial.
We're talking about here. Look, Prince was
controversial in the sense where I saw a documentary. I don't know if it was
MJ bleached his whole joint.
Like, well, that's
deep.
But listen, Prince sent somebody up to one of his band members' room. When they were in the hotel, they had a show going on, I think the night after or something. And she said that somebody came into her room, dropped neon panties and bras all over her bed. And that they were like, Prince wants you to put this on for tomorrow's show or you're fired. And she was like, well, then I guess I'm going to have to put this on. And they're talking about a blonde girl, tall, slim, pretty, but very conservative. And all she did was play instruments. And he had her putting on neon panties and bras, all these weird costumes. He used to go out in female bikinis, but he used to wear the trench coat at the same time. So it's like, he had this style that you couldn't really figure out. MJ, he had the leather, the gloves, the curls, but that wasn't like...
Yo, he had the Thriller jacket.
It was a jacket, though.
And that everybody...
Anybody could put on a jacket.
Everybody... Like, yo, people Rob were Markin. Out there... dressing like Michael Jackson. You want to talk about Mike had movies too. Thriller was a damn movie. He changed the way we did music videos.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? He had what was the other one?
Thriller, man.
Smooth Criminal, the Annie Are You Okay joint. Yeah,
the video game was crazy.
Yeah, I will
he
say
had,
his
he had his own video game for Sega Genesis. Like,
Michael Jackson is family friendly. It goes back to what was that? Yeah, first or second episode.
Not my family.
Oh. We'll play him at a barbecue. Like, you gotta play Prince after 9. Like, what was the first or second episode you guys had? It was like Jodeci versus Boyz II Men.
The first one with Mack Wallace.
And one of the standout things was like, you ain't never made love. Many people ain't made love to Boyz II Men. Like, come on, son. Like, Prince is a different feel, vibe, mental space, different feeling than Michael Jackson. Like, I don't know. Like, Michael Jackson's like barbecue music. I'm with my auntie. I'm with my family. I want to change the world. I might want to dance. I don't know. Prince made me feel some type of way. He made me feel promiscuous. He makes me feel sexy, ratchet.
I ain't playing this out. This some real R&B music.
I'm like, where's that coming from?
That's right.
The socks and the glove was cool.
You know what record this is? I'm gonna learn you something. You're gonna learn something today.
S-Wit? You about to put S-Wit onto something? That's crazy.
It's Michael Jackson. I set the mood for you.
His shit always took forever to start, too.
I've heard the song, but I've never wanted to make out to it. I'm just keeping it.
Yeah, this shit do take too long to start.
All right, anyway.
The bitches.
That boy good.
She's out of my life. And this album cuts. Come on, man.
You know what I think? I think Michael Jackson, there's a time and a place for every one of his songs. Like you said, you know, as we said, he's family friendly. I agree, because if you go to an event like a wedding or something, or a bat mitzvah or whatever the case may be, you could throw on Thriller and people are going to rock to it. But you don't wake up and clean your house to Michael Jackson albums, or you don't bring a girl over and be like, you know what, I'm going to throw on this album like MJ. Nah, you're probably going to throw on Prince.
I'm throwing no Prince joint neither. Not in 2015.
You could play Prince anytime, anywhere. There's a time and a place for MJ. Wow.
You could do a full like Michael Jackson set in the club right now in the rock.
But listen, man, like Michael Jackson was larger than life. Like he had men crying. Yeah. And fainting for him and his
Michael.
I love you,
Michael.
He had
to have ambulances outside his concerts on deck. Ambulances outside on deck, just because as soon as that glove comes out, it's over. People are just passing out. Nobody passed out when they saw Prince's.
I'm not moved.
You can't take away his talent.
Nobody passed out when Prince walked on stage with his
How you know? You was there?
The bitches did.
You was there, bitch?
Ask the females.
You really be everywhere.
Hold on real quick. I'm going to call my man
Hovain. The dudes was falling out, but the females was falling out.
Right. Oh, that's crazy.
Let's get Hovain on the phone since he started all this.
Oh, man.
BSB.
It's the movement.
BSB boss.
Watch him not pick up like Nori.
Nah, he gonna pick up.
He listening to Prince right now.
Yeah.
Purple Rain is incredible, by the way.
If he don't pick up and it goes to voicemail, he ain't your friend.
Oh.
Fuck all my friends. Listen, I think when you Prince is incredible. Prince wrote records, he produced records.
Absolutely.
None of them was bigger than Michael Jackson was selling 10 million albums a clip. Like, you know what I'm saying? Thriller is the highest selling album of all times. Like, Mike had the influence. He had, like, when you think of the moonwalk, when you think of dances, you think Michael Jackson. He had the glove, he had the jacket. He revolutionized the way that music videos. I can't even, honestly, if I'm be real, I don't think I ever seen one Prince music video.
Honestly, like,
I can't think about it. What's the iconic Prince music video?
1999
was the Ill Party song.
Awesome. And then most of them were in movie form. You got to think Purple Rain, like it was one long music video. Mm-hmm. It was a movie.
Yeah, that was.
And
that
the joint had five singles on it. I Would Die For You was on there. Purple
Great album.
Rain.
Incredible
Nikki,
album.
Darling Nikki. That is.
Incredible
when
album.
When Doves Cry.
Incredible
album. It was
album.
A long ass music video.
Incredible album. But nothing on that album does this.
Oh, man. Hey.
It's a different groove, though, right? Hey.
They came out the same time.
Two different sounds.
Listen.
Somebody created Michael's sound. Prince created his own.
Yeah.
So what? He should have got the person that created Michael's sound.
Wait, but aren't you the one? Wait.
You gotta be washed to even know about these records right here.
Nah, I love this record though.
Yeah, nothing
see, look,
better than this.
See, she's changing her mind already. You see how that go?
You need to stop pointing your finger at me.
She smells burgers and hot dogs. And Frankie Beverly and Maze is going to come on
I
after.
Smell the cheese that I want to put on that veggie burger.
So what's your favorite Prince song?
I Would Die For You. Darling Nikki.
I think Darling Nikki is my favorite.
What's your favorite Prince song?
Mm-hmm. See, I just closed my eyes a little bit when you said it. I kind of dumbed out. And shout out to The Dream, because The Dream is just like overly influenced by Prince those first two albums.
For sure.
That's all the Fast Car and all that shit was.
Little Red Corvette.
You know what would be dope?
Purple Kisses.
Look, we
got to
do this
Prince.
Too. Look, I just came up with an ill idea. We got to do this. We got to do a MJ Prince party.
Yeah.
You could DJ. Rob could help you with the playlist. Me and Chris gonna be at the bar just enjoying what
Biz
y'all
knows,
doing.
Biz knows me already.
We should do that. Shout out DJ Spinner used to do that back in the day too. He used to do
the
that,
Versus.
The Versus party. Right? It was Spinner. I'm not tripping, right?
I think so. I think yeah, you're right. Downtown.
Shout out DJ Spinner. But yeah, it might be time to bring that back.
Nah, that'll be hot.
RSVP at itsbiscuit.com.
Listen, I'm gonna give Prince Adore. I think Adore is one of the most romantic. When you really talk about setting a mood, I think Adore is one of the illest records ever. I'm going to give him that. I'm going to give him Purple Rain, of course. That whole album was crazy. I'm going to give him Purple Rain. Mm. I'm going to give him Beautiful Ones. Beautiful Ones might be my second favorite Prince song ever.
Look at you. You sound like a converted Christian.
You changing your mind? Nope. You changing your mind? What you do? You throw shots at me?
I say all that to say he cannot fuck with the King of Pop, man. Like, Michael Jackson influence. When you talk about Kanye more influenced by MJ than Prince. He must have mentioned Michael Jackson 500 times in his interviews.
I'm waiting for the interview, Rob. How?
How
I
you know?
I want to see you interview Kanye and pull it out of him. And I bet that motherfucker think Prince.
The only time I felt like he had a little Prince influence is when he went to the Grammys. Where he go with the purple jacket? The shit was open.
Remember, Prince was a symbol for like 10 years. Because
it was controversial.
It was a symbol.
Right. Nah, man. Listen, I'm not buying it. Biz, what you think, man?
I'm MJ fanatic. Like, I'm mad I didn't bring my red Thriller jacket over here.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? But I love Prince, too. You know? It's a hard debate, man. But I'm going to have to go with MJ. I'm going to have to go with the King of Pop, Never Never Land. You know? That's my, you know, like I said, my son, he's listening to ABC, the Jackson 5. Like,
we ain't even. Prince don't got no ABC. Your kids can't learn nothing from a Prince track.
I don't want them to.
I would rather them grow up and then they learn the good stuff, you know?
True. That's a dope way to look at it.
You thought Computer Blue was about how to log on to the internet. Nah.
I don't know. I think I just like the more like sexy, lustful, crazy. Like, I couldn't even picture being like in the 80s and even thinking about what dating Prince would be like. Like, that shit might just scare me.
Oh, he'd have turned you off.
Yo, Prince. He was walking by bitches and giving them orgasms.
Talking about the females, there was this girl. I cannot remember her last name for the life of me, but there was some girl named Kim. And there was a whole story about how she would not leave Prince. Like, her own brother or brother-in-law or something had to come and get her out of Prince's house because she was just stuck there. Like, she wouldn't even, like, there was no leaving his side. So when we talk about the females or people passing out at shows, Prince had all the females.
Mikey
all of them.
Never had bitches, man.
He had options, man.
He had Brooke Shields.
I feel like if I need somebody to take really control, like, I'm going to go to Prince. You know what I mean?
Prince
like,
hit that. Brooks, I mean, Mike hit that.
Prince hit that because Mike wasn't hitting it right. That's what has happened.
Mike, Prince, Brooke Shields? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was old Mike.
Come on, man.
He took it to the Grammys, man. You ain't think, like, come on, I'm going to just take you to the Grammys.
I can take you to prom, Rob. That don't mean you
didn't. Nah, man. Nah, man. I'll take you to the Grammys. That means...
Brooke, all right, put it like this. You see MJ and Prince walking down the street. Who's going to call it? Matter of fact, put it like this. You see MJ on the left, Prince on the right.
It's going to be MJ.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, so that's what else we
got
to talk about.
But that don't mean that he's better, like, just all around. I think all around, honestly, like, Prince, to me, again, we're talking about Drake not writing his record, and it has you, Rob, in a frenzy, if anything. We have Prince, who writes everything, produces
super
everything.
Talented.
They even had, what's that group called? They were like, they're going to produce your record for you. I think it was the Purple Rain album.
Revolution.
He was like, nah, I'm going to produce my album. Yeah. Like, he plays the instruments. He goes to his bass player and tells him, nah, play it this way. Like, you know what I mean? He is in control of all his music and how it sounds. And it's just crazy to me, like, how talented somebody could be musically in that sense, especially when you're on stage and you could tell your pianist or whatever it is, like, you're going to wear a neon bra and thong and your ass is going to be out. And I want you to turn around and give him a nice view in the middle of your set. And they'll do it because you're Prince. You know what I mean? Like, you have, I think if anything, he opened up a way different lane in the 80s, especially. Everything that he was doing, we're used to that now, the crazy shit that Nicki be going on stage and she's in her little bralette and stuff. But in the 80s, what he was doing was different. And it was like, that's what made him who he is now.
I think if they weren't like dominant at the same time, I think like Prince might have had a little bit more breathing room. I mean, it was like my first comment. I think Michael Jackson is a superstar and Prince is a rock star. It just wasn't no breathing room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like, how can you
but
eat
you
when
only
you got
could,
Michael
like,
Jackson on
Mike,
the scene?
You only can compare the two. Like,
he was dancing.
Can't compare MJ
Mike
and Prince
foot
to nobody
next
else.
Season. He just had his foot on his neck, man.
Like, how can win with your ass cheeks out when he moonwalking? Like,
right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that moonwalk is
She's
just
talking to all
legendary.
This about what the dancers be wearing and what the background singers be wearing. All my man had to do was moonwalk and grab his crotch and go, woo! Over. He was like, oh, that's the best $120 I ever spent on a concert.
He wasn't playing fit.
Come on, man. He wasn't
playing MJ is legendary. I can't take that away.
I
want to
see what the listeners, how they feel about it.
Yeah. I know we got any tweets.
It's like half and half.
Yeah.
Half and half with the.
That's like saying Trey Songz versus Chris Brown or some shit.
It's hard. It's hard.
Chris Brown. What's hard about that?
Chris Brown's a superstar, but what is Trey Songz?
Breezy, what's hard about that? I just did it.
I had actually put up a tweet on our Twitter page. If you don't follow our Twitter page, it's at RLS Podcast. And, you know, we always interact with everybody and kind of get their opinion on things. So I had put out a tweet saying who's better, MJ or Prince. And I wish I could actually show you guys some of these. They put like the dead faces and the rolling of the eyes. And, you know, a lot of people said Prince because he wrote, produced and played so many instruments and he put out many successful acts.
Read some of them. Shout them out too. Shout out the people who actually wrote them.
Yeah. Well, this one I can't really. It's all numbers. But the other one. Oh, Khan Solo actually writes to us a lot. So Khan actually wrote Prince's discography is crazy. Plus, he wrote and produced everything. I love MJ, though. And shout out to P-Cal because he wrote MJ because MJ.
Exactly.
So you don't even need no explanation.
You don't need no explanation.
But somebody else wrote Prince because duh, Prince. It's Kid Marley said Spitz. So everybody's kind of like confused on why we're even comparing the two. But Keys the Don said Prince, he's way more talented. His pen game is strong, instrument savvy, and et cetera. While Mike is just singing and dancing.
Just singing and dancing.
Last name Hodge says he doesn't like our comparison, so he's not happy.
Mm. Somebody said Mike is just singing and dancing. Like Mike
just singing and dancing.
That's invented it. Dancing.
That's all he's doing.
Like it was like Mike is like dancing Jesus. Like it was yeah. It was like wow. There was dancing before Michael Jackson and after Michael Jackson, what it meant to dance changed.
Wait, this Rob, this has to go to you because actually last name Hodge also wrote Prince because of Charlie Murphy.
Insane, <though.
laughs> shit, then Rick James beat everybody.
Bitch, Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
Yo, one of the tweets made a good note. Like Prince birthed a lot of artists out of him.
Mm.
Like who?
Like yeah. He had a sound. I mean, it wasn't like popping. Wasn't Morrison in time kind of after him?
I just want to know your name.
Wait a minute, Vanity. He put Vanity in a girl group.
Yeah, but that wasn't popping.
It was like a definable sound. Like it was like the Prince sound. Mm-hmm. It was like how you.
I just want to see if you name him. I can name him.
I just spit a couple.
Rob was on his game, man.
I mean, Sheena Easton had the sound.
He coming for
Rob
me.
Rob is just coming
why.
For her neck.
I'm just saying, Sheena Easton had the sound. Who else had the sound? Sinead O'Connor.
If you ain't got no Prince sound, you ain't popping.
Yeah, it's cool. Still ain't MJ though. MJ
he wrote for a lot of people thereafter. Even
MJ ain't give
done.
His sound to nobody. Mm. He said, man, I'm keeping this. Him and Quincy Jones said, man, we're gonna keep this.
And then we're gonna make Tevin Campbell.
Tevin Campbell was like
wow.
The we're gonna do a whole Tevin Campbell episode because Tevin Campbell was
supposed to be the second coming of Michael Jackson.
He's gonna be the second coming of Michael Jackson, and it took Quincy Jones and Prince collaborated to bring Tevin Campbell to the world.
Look who you just said.
Yeah, Prince. And it didn't work.
Say that again.
It was a
failed for a hot second.
It was a real second. It was like they had what was it? Round and Round was the first joint. I think Prince wrote
he
that.
Had two strong albums.
The only Can We Talk?
The second album was a strong album. That's what got the three singles on it.
Can We Talk?
But then he had the other one. He had the one after that. Had the
with the braids.
He's
looking
down.
Like a member of Immature.
Yo, I'm listening.
Remember
to R&B
said,
tonight.
Remember when Sun said I'm going to do you at the school like some homework. That was the best line ever.
It was always the corny shit that was like great.
Nah, that was the best line. We was like 12 or 13. Hey, girl, I'll do you at the school like some homework. We didn't know what that meant, but Tevin Campbell said it. So
he was fake the man. Like, remember, he was on Fresh Prince and
yeah,
shit.
He dated Ashley.
He was fake cool. He was in commercials, you know what I'm saying?
Tevin Campbell was lit.
Tell me what you want me to do. That's a different episode, ooh, obviously.
Yeah, nah, we definitely got to do the Tevin Campbell episode. But
Prince.
I don't know, man. I'm not, good I'm not debate, man.
I think Shannon actually concluded this perfectly for us. She wrote, both obviously legends in their own right. And I think because of that, it comes down to opinion. My opinion is Prince. And I agree with her. You know, it's all a matter of opinion, you know?
Yeah.
They're both great, and I'm not going to take anything away from MJ. Shan Glennon.
We're still on MJ. just sit down somewhere.
MJ was washed.
What you throwing on now, Rob? Yo, we got to do this party, man. I'm telling you, it's...
Wear
your purple if you rocking with Prince, and bring the glove glitter out. And, yeah, bring the glitter. The sequin. If you on MJ.
The girls gotta show up in neon bra and panties.
I'm with that.
You gotta pull out a light as soon as this comes on. Like from the beginning, you just gotta be ready.
Damn.
I don't believe y'all. I feel like our listeners have never betrayed me, and I feel betrayed tonight.
It's a new day.
I feel betrayed tonight.
I mean, it's all new about opinion, Rob.
Yeah, it is.
We gonna play this Purple Rain.
This is a great record, man.
Rest in peace to Michael Jackson.
Prince don't really have a record.
You said we're gonna play that record.
No, I really meant rest in peace to Michael Jackson.
That don't speak to your soul, baby.
It does. Both amazing artists.
Funk, soul.
So much emotion in that song.
My dude, Jermaine Paul, I don't know if y'all familiar with him, but...
No, yes.
But he did, like, he goes in when he performs, like, Prince. Oh, right? He does a great verse, yeah.
What's his name?
Jermaine Paul.
Okay.
He did, like, background singers for Alicia Keys.
Okay.
But, nah, I'm just throwing it out there.
Shout out to Jermaine Paul. I gotta check that out.
I gotta see that.
Yeah, man. All right, whatever, man. Forget it. Chris, let's go on to the next segment, man. I believe we got people that want some relationship advice, man. I'm pissed right now. I can't believe, yeah.
Well, y'all give relationship advice?
Oh, man, this is the best part. This is my favorite part.
Wow.
We had Melanie Fiona give us a really, 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 really great one last episode. She really killed the relationship advice segment. But we pretty much do it every time towards, before we wrap up the episode and people send us their relationship problems, or maybe they know somebody that's having like issues and they're trying to get some advice.
Ain't all good like Nikki right now, because you know when people first get together it's popping.
Oh, it's always good in the beginning.
It's good.
It's always
next
good
you
in
know
the beginning.
Pictures get deleted off the gram, it gets crazy.
Yeah. If you have any relationship advice questions for us, or if anybody that you know has any, just send an email. Our email for that is redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. And I want to go over one tonight that actually kind of spoke to me. Y'all ready?
Y'all going to get some washed advice, too. This is a special night.
All right. So we got an email, and he says, me and my girl have been together for 12 years now, and I recently asked her to marry me, and we've been engaged for over a year. We're about to do justice of peace marriage, and she says that she wanted to keep her last name. I told her if she's keeping her name, then we're not getting married. We've had this discussion years back, and I figured it was a dead issue. The main reason she wants to is because it rolls well with her first name. My last name ain't weird. It's the same as a sports manufacturer, think volleyball company. I'm a type A personality, macho man.
Wilson?
Oh, there goes Wilson. Okay.
I like how he gives a little hint, because this is all kept all right. Anonymous.
I thought it was Spalding. I was about to say, yeah, she might let her keep her last name.
Wilson Spalding. Wilson or Spalding, whichever
it's
one it
Wilson.
Is.
It gotta be Wilson.
He says, I am a type A personality, macho man. Why is she all of a sudden bringing this shit back up? And why would she think that I would let this shit fly? Love the show. Appreciate the response. There's also a ring issue on my end, but I figured that this is enough.
What's the ring issue?
Maybe she don't like it.
The ring issue
maybe
might
it's not
be
big enough.
Might be the real issue.
Oh, yeah, that might be.
That's interesting, though.
What was his name again? You said, oh, this is anonymous.
Nah, it's anonymous.
We're just going to call him Wilson.
We're going to call him Wilson. Yeah.
Wilson Spalding.
Like Castaway.
Who want to go first?
Listen, don't do it.
Don't do it.
So she don't want to take his last name. I want to ask Biz.
Getting married is serious, man.
I got to ask Biz this. Ain't for everybody. As a man, how would you feel? You know, how do you feel about that?
Honestly, I don't be on it like that. You know, like if I know she loves me and it's like, you know, we're going to get married and she feels some type of way about her last name, yo, it's all good. You want to keep it? Keep it. I ain't tripping. You know? I'm not, you know, I don't care about stuff like that.
Who makes more money?
I think, yeah, that too. It's levels to all that marriage stuff.
Wilson, it's 2015, man. This ain't traditional marriage stuff. Yeah, that's just how I look at it. I think she should have more of a justifiable reason as to why. Like, maybe if she was, like, her parents' only child, and she wanted to like maybe
because still
carry
she can still keep it in there.
Yeah, yeah, wait, but that just because we're married and you have when we have a kid, that kid's gonna have my last name. Like that's a whole different other.
Well, I got two last names, so right. You know what I mean. So like it's like a shared situation.
Right,
like, nobody wanted to give up nothing, so I got like five names. But I mean, if y'all been together 12
it's
years,
than S-Wit.
Yeah, it's long as hell. But like S with the fifth. But I mean, after 12 years, if this is the only thing holding y'all back, y'all tripping. Y'all might as well not get married. It like, that's the holdup.
It wasn't even a conversation.
Well, he said
engaged for a year, right?
Engaged
been
for a year.
We've been together 12 years.
That's married.
He said,
that's,
I told her if she's keeping her name, we're not getting married. My man,
that's
I have
petty.
One thing to say to you. I mean, me as a female, I would want to keep my last name. You know, I mean, I don't ever want to get married, but if I was to get married one day, I don't think I would give up my last. I don't think I would. It would have to be like a dash, kind of like what Kim does, Kim Kardashian, like Kim Kardashian West. My last name to me is just like sacred. So I wouldn't give it up, but I wouldn't throw away my relationship over that.
Get your independent ass up out of here.
And if if he's willing to throw away the relationship over that, I don't think the love is that real.
Yeah, that's why I fuck with Biz. He caught. We just threw that alley. He just caught the oop.
I mean, Chris trying to keep her last name.
I don't know if I would have tripped.
Kim would have changed her name. Would have fucked up the money.
Yeah. But we never. We never.
She's smart.
I didn't have that situation. It never even came up. Like for me, like you gonna take my last name.
Yeah, that's
like,
the thing.
It wasn't
too.
Even. It's
did
funny.
You
it
have the kill
point.
In your auto?
Nah, it wasn't even.
That is super
the Puerto Ricans there.
Yeah. So her father like, did. He was like, "Oh, you." To her, he was like, "Oh, you keeping your you keeping your last name, right?" She was like, "No, taking his last name." And then that was probably the only debate that there was. But I don't know how I feel. I believe that love conquers all, so you'll be able to find a way.
And now it's love conquers all.
Honestly, it's all jokes. But
you turned into Michael Jackson.
I'm independent. You're just mushy.
I kind of believe that if this is the girl that you truly were meant to be with, and if it's a deal breaker for her, like it's a deal break. If it's a deal breaker for both of y'all, then fuck. But you know, somebody got to compromise. It don't make no sense to throw away 12 years.
You compromise.
Oh, that's
what it's about.
Yeah, brother, you're gonna have to learn to compromise a whole lot too.
Once you tie that knot, it's official. You're gonna be doing a lot more compromising.
But
for sure.
Yeah, maybe a hyphenated last name. That probably sounds like the middle ground. Like,
yeah, but then you fuck up the kids. Don't do it.
Well, you felt like you got fucked up with a hyphenated last name?
Yeah. It's very long. I'll show you my license.
Okay.
like it was bad when I first got my license. My name is so long, it only had my last name on it. It wouldn't even have my first name.
What?
Yeah, that's kind of gangster, though. I feel like I don't know you anymore. I don't know nothing about you.
Who are you?
Who are you really?
I am not who you think I am. I was like the kid in the class during attendance. It's like, teacher stopped probably at my first name because it's like, nah, ain't no way I'm reading all this.
Well, what do you want me to call you?
Yeah. It's like, there's options. Or when I fill out application, they ask
what do you
have
prefer?
You ever gone by any other names?
Right.
I got to write like, you know.
I feel like we ain't really helped this brother out, though.
Don't be petty.
12 years is a long time.
That's kind of not petty, though.
Just marry her. But after 12
years.
How is
it not petty? He's willing to throw away his whole relationship.
And there's no wedding. They going to the JOP. But like, he ain't got to spend no money, nothing. Just let her take the name.
She's willing
baby.
To throw away the relationship, too. Like, he's not the only one.
No, he specifically said, I told her that if she doesn't take my last name, we're not getting married. He's making the decision
you
for himself. What? I feel like if you feel that deeply about it, I'm questioning how much you really love this female because if that's all it takes for you to say like, you know what I mean? Then I'm questioning he's going a little too fast into this. Maybe the marriage needs to wait a little bit.
He's been
in you
the
know
12
I mean?
Years. He ain't going too
God,
fast.
Don't
say wait.
Listen, no, you know what though? It's hard too as a man. Like if your wife don't say your last name,
it's
like
ego.
It's not just ego. There's a lot of judgment. It's a lot of pressure put on men. In this world, that I'm being serious, and we're looking at me like she's about to laugh.
I'm gay, so I'm just observing. So now break it down.
I'm just here.
Like people gonna look at you kind of like, yo, she ain't take your last name. Like there's pressure in that, you know what I mean? So
that's called ego, my friend.
It's not an ego. It's just that there's societal. It, this societal pressure, the same way like women, like they'll be like, yo man, it's a certain pressure for women to look a certain way or to dress a certain way or to act a certain way, right? Like Absolutely. Society puts these norms on, and men face that too, and people don't think that men face that. Like men face
that. Yeah, we go through a lot,
you
man.
Know what I'm saying?
It's real over here.
I can't even take you seriously.
Yo, Biz is giving me the eyes right now. I guess it's about to pop out of his socket.
I guess it will be awkward if you like walk to go on somewhere to like an event or something, yeah. and you introduce, this is my wife, Mrs., and her last name was a Markman, and right. you're like,
it's a little weird. Mm. Is it really your wife?
It's like nice to meet her, walk away. I don't right. know what that's
But
about.
I think that also goes back to what you were saying about who makes the, or did you just say who makes the most
yeah,
money?
Yeah, because if Kanye ass came along, she probably take Kanye West's last name.
There's a dash there for a reason.
No, I'm not talking about Kim. I'm talking about whoever his girl is. If the man was Kanye West, she changed her last name to West.
It wouldn't be no problem.
I'm willing to bet you.
What's up with Wilson?
Yeah, so what's up? It don't sound that different.
I feel like it may not be Wilson. Like after this episode, I'm gonna Google like every volleyball.
It's gonna be Spalding
company.
Oh wait, we said
it gotta be Wilson. If your last name's Spalding, I get it.
I forgot he said volleyball.
But
we're talking basketball.
But keep us updated, man. Let us know how it goes.
I think they need to really talk it out. I think the most important thing is talking, like communication. Yeah, you're not gonna get anywhere arguing and saying like, "Well,
talk to your parents."
Well, how about this? Don't get married. Y'all been together 12 years without getting married. Y'all could do everything. Y'all could have kids as a couple. Y'all could live together. And maybe marriage just ain't for y'all. Like, you don't have to get married to prove that you're in love. Like, marriage is not.
Or maybe not just yet. Maybe they just need a little more time to figure things out.
Ain't no more time. Like,
maybe it's an insurance thing.
Listen, 12 years?
10 years.
12 years is not the deadline. I know people that.
12 years a slave.
Yeah, man. 12 years of washed.
Yeah, Markman. I know
the memes are starting
been,
now.
How long you been married? If you don't mind me asking, brother Rob.
13.
You been married?
Yeah.
For 13 years?
Yeah.
I've only been on this earth 13 now. Yeah. Nah, God bless you.
I don't believe you on that. That's crazy.
I was 21.
Damn.
21, yeah.
You had that
Spanish
young love.
Mofos getting in early.
The young love.
What you trying to say? Know. I ain't over here married.
Nah, but that's crazy, though. God bless you, bro.
I thought I was too young to get married.
Yeah, thank you, bro.
That's real.
Listen, yep, 21. You know, it's been a ride. It's good.
Said that so smooth.
Nah, I mean, what can you say?
Just feel the coaster, baby.
Nah, shoot, who's better to get relationship advice from?
Not me.
Right.
Not me. And we're on, but
I might
hit us up.
Well, what's the email?
You're like, watch. Yeah, Biz. Like,
again, anonymous. Again, the email for that is redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. Yeah, so
y'all going to get an email tonight from me.
Right.
I need some advice.
We keep
Biz.
It anonymous, so everybody, please send them over. Except, I enjoy reading them, you know, but we enjoy
emails.
Sharing them more.
Yeah, yo, Biz wants to know.
I was going to do couples therapy, but she wasn't really with it.
Right.
Couples therapy.
That was going to be lit.
That's hard. That's
this guy had a camera.
Yeah, couples therapy.
Yeah, he's right there.
Right, he's going to turn that into a show.
I'm waiting
on
for it.
Biscuit.
Biz finds a way to make money off of anything. Right.
He's
and
a
that's
brand.
One of the things I admire of
he's
you.
He's a brand.
About you. Yeah.
It's a brand. When we listen back to this episode, let's count how many times Wash was put out.
Right.
And,
Wash
and,
shirts,
you owe me,
you
and you owe me a dollar for the isbiscuit.com. Or a hat. What a hat.
I got you.
I got a hat. Matter of fact, I want to
buy I'm wearing the hat right now, I feel. I don't got the Wash joint, though. I need the Wash joint.
Got some stuff for y'all, man.
We good,
right,
though.
Yeah,
man. Let's go around the room. Biz, man, where can they find you if they haven't heard
hit me up, man.
50 plugs already.
I'm always on Twitter, @itsbizkit, @itsbizkit, on the gram, @its_bizkit. I'm there. I'm there right now. Hit me.
That's a bet. That's wit.
You know me, so low key. Nah, hotnewhiphop.com, man. I'm usually getting bashed in the comments and stuff like that for my right. picks, and you know what I mean. But on Twitter, @s_wit_, Instagram @s_wit_, djswit.com, or you know what I mean. So Google me s.wit.
Shout out to the whole team too at Hot New Hip Hop. Y'all had a dope event at the space. Shout out to Sorrow.
Taking it to new heights. Shout out to the whole Hot New Hip Hop team, man. It's about to get crazy, man. So you know what I mean. Other than itsbizkit.com, make us your first stop, second stop.
Hot New Hip Hop. That's the only other site I go to.
hold on.
MTV. Your top three favorite websites should be MTV, Hot New Hip Hop, isBiscuit.com. If you're going anywhere else, then
and definitely check out RnBWave.com. That site is popping too.
Yeah, shout out to R&B Wave.
We're gonna need them red light special posts on R&B Wave. Day. We need the top box.
How much for the top box?
Nah, but we there. Chris, where can they find you at?
At Chris Lover, KrisLovaA. That's on Instagram, Twitter. Actually, my website is just about done, so I'm going to be... It's kristenquarrel.com if you want to check it out now. It's pretty much up, but yeah.
Oh, so now we got to do four websites now?
Well, mine is not a music website. It's my actor's website, but yeah.
Check that out.
So if you got any movies or short films or anything, hit me.
That's what's up. And I'm at Rob Markman on Twitter, on Instagram. And mtvnews.com, check it out. You know, got
big
some
things. Big things.
Got some big things. Working on some things. So, but until next week, man, thanks for rocking with us. Red Light Special. Follow us at RLS Podcast. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.